All right. We've got the Bankalita family with us. And, brother, you come and introduce you and your wife and show your video and get her to sing us a song. We'll go from there, okay?
It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor Mark, for allowing us to come and present our ministry. Thank you, church, for allowing us to come and present our ministry. And once again, I am Brother Miguel Bankalita, and I am a Filipino missionary. And I am with my wife, Sister Maricar. And this is her first time to be here in the United States. And the last time I was here is 2019. And I'm glad this time my wife is with me, and she everything is new to her. But I think we've been here for 2 months, and I think she adjusted already, and she's enjoying so far, except starting missing our kids, because this is the first time that both of us is being far away from our three kids. But God has been good, and pray for us. We are in our deputation, and we will be here for 2 more months. We will be back in the Philippines on this coming September. And the first time she is here, because this is her first time, she always asks me a lot of questions. And it's hard to explain. Just observe. I cannot explain you anything. And she excited about her birthday, because we came here May, the first week of May, and she's so excited about her birthday. And I always told her, don't worry, everywhere I will bring you, many people will celebrate with you, because she celebrated her birthday last July the 4th. And she's so excited, and she thought all the fireworks is for her, and we have a good time, we have a lot of food, some of our friends invited us, please pray for us. We are on our deputation. We are looking for more partners in the ministry. So being here is a blessing, but it's also a big sacrifice, leaving our three kids, leaving our church, and just the trouble. It took us 34 hours to be here. Of course, because we have 8 hours layover, but we prayed for this trip, that our prayer that when we back in the Philippines, we can raise enough support that we needed in the ministry. And we have a 5 minutes video presentation about our ministry, on how God saved me and called me in the ministry. And after this video presentation, my wife will sing a special number. So if we can, thank you so much, Pastor. So that will help. So I hope it will be a blessing to you, and I'm so sorry we don't bring any popcorn, but just enjoy. Hello, dear friends and ministry partners. I am Brother Miguel Bankalita, a Filipino missionary. I am married to Maricar, and God bless us with 3 kids. Carmichael, 7 years old. Helen Mason, 4 years old. Callie Marie, 2 years old. We are the Bankalita family, your missionary from the Philippines to the Philippines. And this is my testimony. Please allow me to share with you on how God saved me and putting me in the ministry. I am the fruits of children ministry. I was 13 years old when I got saved. After I got saved, God put a desire in my heart to share the gospel to others. I surrendered my life to God to be in full-time service. I first volunteered to be a full-time worker in our church. In 2002, I enrolled at the Fundamental Baptist College, Philippines. From a church worker, I was assigned to be one of the area leader. In 2009, I was given the opportunity to study at Marietta Bible College, Marietta, Ohio, USA, to deepen my knowledge of the Word of God and to be trained more in the ministry. In 2011, I married with Mariko. In 2012, God gave us an opportunity to help a Filipino missionary to Cambodia. We stayed there for more than 2 years. In December 2014, we went back to the Philippines. God confirmed in my heart that He has called me to reach my countrymen. My heart burned for my homeland. In January 2015, my home church commissioned us to do a mission work in Malasikini, Pangasinan, Philippines. We don't know anybody. We don't have friends. We don't have relatives in this place. We just do what God wants us to do. We go on soul winning, knock on doors, distribute gospel tracts. We also conducted Bible study in homes, jail, and public and private agencies. We also teach children in every village. Children ministry is very close in my heart because I and my wife are same product of the children ministry. Through this ministry, we are able to reach the parent of the children and we are able to share them the gospel. The children that we taught before is now teaching the children. As of now, we have 8 children's centers in different villages. We have also youth ministry. We have monthly fellowship with the young people. We conducted youth camp every summer. We conducted sports evangelism. I love to play basketball, so I use my passion to connect with the young people where I am able to disciple them and also encourage them in the ministry. Our ministry continues to grow. Many people are coming to know the Lord and baptized and added to the church. It's been 8 years now that we are in this mission field. 2 years ago, we are able to finish our own church with the help of American friends. Last July 2022, we are organized as a church. As of now, we have more than 100 people in our church. We cannot accomplish this without your help. As of now, we had 5 men in our church that are ready to go out and start a ministry in different villages in our town. Our prayer this year is to have a church vehicle. It is very essential in our ministry because this will enable us to get more people who cannot afford to pay for their transportation. We are also praying to purchase a property beside our church for the expansion of our ministry. This will become a multi-purpose home. Please continue to pray for our needs in the ministry here in the Philippines. Thank you, and to God be all the glory.
So much, Pastor, for allowing us to share that ministry that we have in the Philippines. And this is the second missionary work that we have. We've been in this ministry for 8 years now. And I remember when we start this ministry, we don't have any support. We work Monday to Friday and do the ministry Saturday and Sunday. But God bless this ministry. And I was here when the last time I was here is 2019, and I was able to raise a 600 support that time. And this is the support that we still have. But if you have 3 kids and you are full-time serving the Lord in the mission field, $600 is not enough. So we decided to travel to raise support. And by the way, by the support that I have with $600, my wife is here. We supported 5 Filipino pastors as well in that support. So our prayer, if we can raise enough support, that will help us to help more, to do more for the furtherance of the gospel. I hope and I pray that God will give us more partner, and so that we can do more for the glory of God. And we're just traveling here, as I told you before, 2 months. And in 2 months, God has been good. I believe that God blesses us with this trip. But I just want to share this experience. We experienced this question twice. And after I present this ministry in one of the churches in West Virginia, the pastor asked me a question. And while I am in the pulpit, the pastor asked me a question, "Brother Miguel, can I ask a question?" "Yes, pastor, you can ask." "And you've been in that mission field for 8 years, you said." I said, "Yes, pastor." "And you said you have 100 people in your church." "That's true, pastor. My wife is here." "And my next question is, how come your church is not able to support you? How come you need to raise your support coming here? Why you need to raise here?" And I don't expect that question, but I'm glad the pastor asked that so that I can explain. Because here's the reason, pastor. While the church is not able to support me, with that 100 people in our church, 50% is young people. 25% don't have work. We are in the province. 25% is the only working in our people. And in the Philippines, pastor, you work for 8 hours and you can have the salary of 500 peso, which is equivalent of $10. So he told me, now I understand. I preach giving, I teach tithes, but we, the church, is not in the situation that they can support me. We give more to our people than our people give us. So the pastor said to me, "Now I understand, brother. I just curious and ask you that question." And thank you so much. And if you have any question, you can, if I can answer, you can ask me a question. Hello. Hello, sound check. Okay, good afternoon to all of us. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And thank God. God is good all the time. And His goodness never stop, never end. So many times we are the one who stop appreciating God in our life. Amen. He never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. We are the one who leave God so many times in our life. First, we are chasing the material things. We forgot He's the giver of all things in our life. And truly that song has been me and my wife, it's like our theme song of this year, because we really experience the goodness of God in our life. God has been good to us. And when we came here, this is our first time traveling, and she understand why I did not good the first deputation, because I'm just by myself, and now I know how hard the deputation is. But what makes her amazed is why these people, we never meet them. It's the first time we ever meet these people, but why they are so good to us. And I told her, that's the goodness of God. Because we are the son of God, they are our brother, we have same father. That's why in 2 months we never meet any people that not as good to us. God is sending us people that take care of us good. And she is wondering, why they need to put us in hotel? This pastor, they don't know us. And we're like special here, because even in the Philippines, we don't experience sleeping in hotel. Only here, because we cannot afford hotel in the Philippines. So that's the goodness of God. And that's why every time because we travel a lot, so when someone put us in hotel, it's very special. Most of the time, we sleep in rest area, we eat in rest area. But we're enjoying it. So what we're doing anywhere we can get a meeting, we don't mind to travel, because we don't know many pastors here. I have only 5 supporting churches right now. And if you stay for 4 months with 5 supporting pastors, it's hard to get a meeting. But I'm glad one of my friends, like Pastor Anthony died, giving me all his friend, called this man. He's trying his best to help us. That's why I was able to get a meeting. And I'm glad Pastor Mark, Pastor Derek allow us to come. And we're so blessed this time. And just continue to pray for us in that mission field. One of the urgent needs we are praying this year is we're praying to get a church vehicle. And it's really need in our church, in our ministry. Not like here, most of the people have their vehicle. But in the Philippines, some people go to church, they walk. We have this transportation, very popular transportation. We call it tricycle. It's motor with sidecar. And we can put 7 people in that, Filipino. But if you put American, maybe only 3. So we have 2 of those. That's why we started praying this year to have a church vehicle. And this will enable us to get people, those people that are not able to pay for their transportation. And we can put at least in this band that we're praying, we can at least put 20 Filipino again. But if American, maybe only 10. But it's really need. Help us to pray. And we save in 2 months, we save 6,000 for this band. The price of the band that we're praying for is $20,000. In 2 months, we are able to save 6,000. Our prayer is that when we go back, we have enough money to purchase this van, church vehicle, for us to get more people in our church. Pastor, thank you so much tonight for giving me this opportunity to share to you the Word of God. And it's my honor and my privilege tonight to share to you the Word of God. The last time I was here is 2019. So it's been 4 years. My problem is I forgot many of my English word. So I'm still adjusting, but if there are times that you don't understand me, that's fine. I understand that because I'm telling you there are times I don't understand you too. So it's just fair. Okay. But I will try my best. I hope that you will understand me. I will try my best I make my saying this time that if you preach short, you will get support. So I will try to preach short tonight. And my English is limited anyway. And I will be honest to you tonight. I'm not a good preacher. I'm not a good teacher. But one thing I know, I'm good looking man. You can ask my wife. You can ask my wife later. I think that's enough. So. If you don't believe that, I know many of you will doubt, but just ask my wife and I believe. So if you have your Bible, let's open our Bible in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 19, chapter 6, I should say, verse 19. Let's all stand up as I give reverence to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 6, I will start my reading in verse 19, and for the sake of time, let's just read verse 19 down to verse 21. Just follow with your eyes, and I will read. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thief do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we're coming to thy throne tonight. May you bless your word as we read. Lord, once again, may you be with us. May you touch our heart. May you challenge us with your word. Lord, I pray that you use me to be a blessing to your people. And Lord, may you get all the glory tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So we may now be seated. So it's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to verse 21. This is our text. So I'm not here to teach you. I'm not here to pretend that I am a good preacher. I'm so And this is from the bottom of my heart. You have a best pastor in the world. But I'm just here, church, to challenge you with the word of God. Amen. So get ready to rebuke tonight. Get ready for the word of God tonight. Because you might be rebuked tonight. You might be challenged tonight. And you might get angry with me tonight. That's fine. You will not see me anyway next Sunday. So it's fine. But I will speak tonight the subject which I entitled Secure the True Treasure. Secure the True Treasure. This verse that we read, Matthew chapter 6, is part of the sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ, Sermon in the Mount. And Jesus, this is the sermon coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he is the one who is speaking here. Amen. So don't get me wrong. This is the word of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Don't get me wrong. From Genesis to Revelation is the word of God. But what I'm trying to say tonight, this is the word that Jesus is preaching. Jesus is the one who is speaking here. So we can see, I want you to see three things from this verse that we read. From verse 19 and verse 20, the first thing that I want you to see is the given instruction. In verse 19, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth. That is the given instruction. I believe when God gave an instruction, it is always correct. It is always clear. And it is always certain. But sometimes it is a challenging. That's the instruction, the given instruction. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth. But in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Amen. It is clear. It is certain. It is correct. But it is a challenging. The second thing that I want you to see, not only the given instruction, but the guiding interpretation. Because if we will not be careful in understanding this word, in reading this word, when the Bible says, when Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth nor rust does corrupt, where thief do not break to nor steal. If we will not understand this right, we might come to the point Jesus might against riches. If we will not read it right or understanding right, we might think that having a lot of money is evil. We might think that having material things is sin. The given instruction, that's why I want you to see the guiding interpretation. Jesus is not against riches. There is nothing wrong in having money. There is nothing wrong having material things. Amen. So don't be careless, Christian. So many times, I heard this so many times. I am a Christian. I don't need material things. I don't need money. When I die, I'm going to heaven anyway. I cannot bring anything in heaven. You might right, but you are wrong. Because as long as we are in this world, we need material things. We will spend money whether we like it or not. What Jesus is simply saying here is don't just invest money in this earth. Amen. But in heaven also. Don't love the material things more than God. Amen. We need material things. We need money. But don't let the money control you. Don't just focus. Jesus is simply saying, don't just focus. Don't just invest your treasure on earth, but invest your treasure in heaven also. Amen. Think about this. Many people, when it comes of material things, we are so curious. We want to invest, which is nothing wrong about that. Amen. We want to invest. That's why we do business. We save money. There is nothing wrong with that. But the problem is when it comes to spiritual thing, when it comes to heavenly thing, many Christians are not interested anymore. And here we are, we keep saying, I am a Christian. When I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm excited to go to heaven. But are you investing something in heaven? Are you willing to sacrifice something for God? Are we investing something in heaven? The good example of that is we can read in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21. This is the story of a man, of a young man who was rich, and he harvests so much of his crops. And he said to himself in Luke chapter 12, I will just tell you the story, you can read it. And he come to the point where you have a lot, and he told to himself, now take ease, just drink, eat, and be merry. The Bible says, Jesus is thou fool, because tonight thy soul is required from thee. This man have a lot of things in this world, but he forgot to prepare the most important thing, and that is his life after death. That is his going, his soul going to heaven. And this man, I'm telling you, died and went to hell because he forgot to prepare about spiritual things. That's why the Bible says, well, for what shall it profit a man? Mark chapter 8, verse 36. For if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Amen. Are we investing something in heaven? So we see that the given instruction, we see the guiding interpretation, and the third thing that I want you to see is the godly insight. The godly insight is Jesus is not against riches. As a matter of fact, God wants to every one of us to become success, to have a blessed life, to have a beautiful life, a joyful life, a successful life. And I can prove you that. We can read that in John chapter 10, verse 10. The Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God desire for every one of us is to have a successful life. God doesn't desire anyone to be failure, to become in misery. God's desire from the beginning is for us to have a blessed life, a life that is full of blessing. Amen. That's why if there are people in this world who deserve a better life, that should we, Christian. Amen. That should us. But so many times, we seek those things and we forget God. But God said, the Bible, the secret of a blissful life is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we will just put God first in our life, God can provide all the things that we need. Amen. I remember Abraham, God bless Abraham because he put God first in his life. He followed God, he obeyed God, he walked with God in faith. I remember King Solomon, that King Solomon is became the wisest and the richest man that ever lived. You remember Job? God bless him. His riches become double at the end of his life. So I'm telling you that the godly insight is Jesus is not against riches. Jesus' desire for every one of us is to have a blissful life. So this more tonight, I want to challenge you. I have the question and we will go to the message. I'm done with my introduction. Let's go to the message. My question is, how important to you, how important to us is the guidance of the Lord? If we believe this is the word of God, if we believe that the Bible is the guidance of the Lord to us, then if we believe that this is the guiding of the Lord, this is the given instruction of the Lord how to secure a treasure in heaven, we should know, we will know, and we want to know how to secure the treasure in heaven. Amen. Sad to say, when it comes to earthly treasure, we will do everything. We work so hard. So many people work three kinds of job every day. They don't mind if they get dirt. They don't mind if they get tired. They don't mind if they work overtime because they want to get more profit. They want to invest their future. They want their kids to have a better life. That's why they work as many as they could. And they don't mind even they get tired, they get wet, they work under the sun, it's fine because they are so eager so that their family have a better future, which is nothing wrong with that. You know what is wrong? When it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to the heavenly things, we are not that excited. We don't have that eagerness. I hope and I pray we should have same eagerness that we're doing when it comes to material things. I hope and I pray that when it comes to heavenly things, heavenly treasure, same excitement, same joy that we have. Oh, I want to invest something in heaven. I am willing to sacrifice just to have something in heaven. I want to invest something in heaven. Tonight, I will share you a three things how to secure a treasure in heaven. This is just a reminder. You heard this many times, but it's good if you will hear again. This is so that we might be reminded. How to secure a treasure, a true treasure in heaven. Number one, by serving and ministering. We are saved to serve God. Amen. God saved us to serve Him. You are not saved just not to do something. So I believe every one of us have a purpose why we are here. There is a reason why God saved us. Amen. So if you're saved tonight, I'm glad to hear that. If you're 100%, you will go to heaven when you die. If you will tell me, I am a Christian brother, I am sure when I die, I'm going to heaven 100%. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear that. But the question is, are you willing to sacrifice for God? Are you willing to serve God? Sad to say, many Christians nowadays, they become a member of SSS Christian. I call them SSS Christian. What does that mean, Pastor? This Christian, they are saved. After they saved, they just sit in the church every Sunday and they are satisfied. They said, I'm saved and I will just sit every Sunday and I'm satisfied with this. I don't want to do anything. I don't care where other people go. As long as I am saved, I'm fine. This is the SSS Christian. But I'm telling you, God saved us to serve Him. Amen. Remember this, we have only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, there is a reminder in verse 21. We should be careful with this Christian. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. Christian, be careful where you putting your treasure, because your heart will follow. No wonder many Christians don't care about spiritual things because they are just focusing on these material things, on this world. Amen. That's why they don't care about spiritual things, because their heart, their treasure is only here in this world. Christian, let us start investing something in heaven. Amen. And how to secure a true treasure? By serving and ministering. Amen. If you're serving the Lord, praise God. Continue serving the Lord. Amen. If you're doing that, just keep serving the Lord. But Christian, if you're not doing something for the Lord yet, don't wait until it's too late. Amen. God expected us to do something for Him. Amen. We will be soon pass away, but our work for the Lord will remain. Amen. That's why let's continue serving the Lord. Amen. Start opening your account now in heaven. I'm glad if many of us here right now, maybe we have a bank account, we save enough for our future, for our children. There are many money, many treasure in bank account. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. I hope all of you have that one. But how about your account in heaven? I hope you invest enough treasure in heaven. If not, let us start by serving and ministering. There are so many ways to serve God. Amen. You don't need to be a missionary. You don't need to be a pastor to serve God. You can be an ordinary Christian, ordinary people, and yet you can serve God in many ways. Amen. You can invite people. You can give gospel tracts. You can clean the church. You can serve God in many ways. Amen. Let's start saving now in heaven. Or maybe some of you stopped, you served God before and you stop, you get discouraged. Please update your account. Amen. By serving and ministering. Here's the second thing that I want you to see. We have only three things and I'm be done. By number two, by supporting the mission of God. You know, the mission is the heart of God. Amen. The mission of God is to reach people. Amen. To save the lost soul. And a good example of that is Apostle Paul. We know the background of Apostle Paul. But when Apostle Paul got saved, he served God and he became a servant of God and he did a lot of missionary work. And that's why Paul is in Philippians chapter 4. If you will read in verse 10, we will see what Paul is telling here. Paul is just thanking these people who help him, who support him while he is in the mission field, while he is doing the mission of God, while he is sharing the gospel. Paul is thanking these people who has been faithful in supporting him. In verse chapter 4, verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly at that now the last of your care hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lack opportunity. But I want you to see in verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound in your account. But I have all and abound and full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But in verse 19, don't claim this if you are not doing the mission of God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying here, your help, your support, the things that you do for the mission of God, God honor that. This is well pleasing to God. A sweet smell. And God will add this into your account. And then Paul is just simply saying in verse 19, Paul is saying here, I might not pay you back. I might not able to pay you in return. But in verse 19, but my God, the God that I am serving, is the one who bless you. He's the one who pay you back. Put that in your account. Amen. This is the mission of God. Paul is just simply saying to us, God always bless our effort. God will always bless our sacrifices. That's why Paul is saying in Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Let's support the mission of God. The mission of God is to reach people. The mission of God is to save people. That's why in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the mission. Amen. And I'm telling you, Christian, tonight, without the mission, no one of us here tonight, we are on our way to hell. But because God loves us so much, Jesus came from on high to reach us, to save our soul. And we should say, we should share this gospel, this salvation that we have. Don't just keep this in ourselves. Let us share this to other people. That is mission. Amen. Let's keep sharing the gospel, sharing the word of God to other people. I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful that God used other people to reach me. Amen. There are people, every one of us, we have a story. There are people who sacrificed, who prayed for us, who invited us to church, who discipled us, who sacrificed their time, their treasure, their talent, just to share us the gospel. That's why we are here tonight. Let us continue doing that. Amen. Sharing, doing the mission. You have your own mission here. Our mission is to reach the lost soul. You don't need to go to the Philippines to do the mission. Your mission is your neighbor. It might be your family. It might be your friend. It might be your relative. Let us supporting the mission of God. The mission of God is to reach soul. Amen. Amen. I'm glad some people reach me. Some people share me the word of God. Amen. Let's continue supporting the mission of God. And lastly, how to secure a true treasure, not only by serving and ministering, not only by supporting the mission of God, but lastly, by sharing to God's ministry. And I want to make, and I always tell this to our people, this ministry is God's ministry. The ministry that we have in the Philippines is not our ministry. That is God's ministry. God is just giving us the opportunity and the privilege to have part in God's ministry. Amen. Church, this is God's ministry. Mission Hill Baptist Church in Hayesville is God's ministry. So if this is God's ministry, we should share this ministry. Amen. And when I say share, don't always think about money, about material things, but share your time. Share your talent is more important. Amen. Sharing your life, amen, with this ministry is more important. Amen. Let us share to this ministry. No one will love this ministry. I tell that to our people, no one will love this ministry except the children of God. If this is God's ministry, the unbeliever will not love this ministry. And I want to tell same thing here. No one will love this ministry. No one will support this ministry except you, members of this church. Amen. Except you, Christian. Except you who are telling the Son of God, a child of God, love this ministry. Support this ministry. Amen. Share your time. Share your talent. Share your treasure. And by the way, in case we forget, everything that we have anyway is coming from God. Amen. So if God, if this life is for God, if this life come from God, I believe it's easy. And telecom. Where your strength comes, where your help comes to accumulate these things, it's all come from God. Amen. So let's share what we have in God's ministry. Amen. We cannot outgive God. That's why I teach our people, let's just be faithful to God. Amen. Let's just serve God. We went to that mission field with no support. I'm not complaining. We can serve God without support, but what I'm trying to say is we went there with a heart, with the burden, with the passion in our heart for the lost soul. And after 8 years, God used us because I just tell to my wife, to our people, let's just serve God. Amen. Let us support God's ministry. God wants us to serve Him. Amen. That's why my prayer to God when I got saved, and until this is my prayer until now, And I'm really serious about this. I tell to God, Lord, if you cannot use my life anymore, it's better to take me home than doing nothing in this world. I don't want to ruin your testimony. I don't want to be messed up in this world. So it's better to get me when I stop serving you. God save us to serve Him. And I'm telling you, I got saved when I was 13 years old. And I am the only Christian in the family. Same thing with my wife. She's the first Christian in the family. But I start praying for my mom and dad and for my 6 siblings. It's not easy. It's hard. When you are the only Christian in the family, they persecute you. There come to the point my mom told me, son, if you're still attending to that church, leave this house. Forget us. But if you want, if you stop going to that church, then you can stay in the house. That's the only option I have as a young man. But I tell to God, I prayed for this, Lord, I might disobey my mom and dad this time. Because if I obey them, how can they know the truth? How can I prove them that I am saved, that I find out the truth? I pack up my things, leave our house for 2 weeks, and stay in the church. But after 2 weeks, my mom called me, son, I miss you. You can come in the house now. You can stay. You can still go to church, but just come. I miss you. To make the long story short, my mom and dad, I was able to lead them in the Lord. I was able to lead my 6 siblings in the Lord. Because I prayed, they see the changes in my life. Lord, use me. Christian, let's continue to serve the Lord. Let's continue sharing in God's ministry. If you're not serving God, start now. As I'm telling you, we will all be gone in this world. We don't know when. But the question is, are we doing something for God? Remember this. God will always recognize and reward our effort. Our labor, our sacrifice is not in vain. Amen. Let's continue serving the Lord. Let's close our eyes, bow our head. I will pray and I will call Pastor Mark to close us in service tonight.